With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. A governor's spokeswoman says the fire in Custer State Park is 60 acres, not 150 as they reported previously. It's currently 25% contained. Maggie Seidel is an advisor to the governor and says the new estimate comes from aerial infrared scanning. Seidel says rugged terrain originally made it difficult to estimate the size of the fire. The Mine Draw fire started Wednesday morning. It's burning about 7 miles south of Mount Rushmore between Highway 16A and Center Lake. There are more than 100 firefighters responding along with two helicopters and a plane. Highway 87 North is closed from the junction of Highway 16A and Needles Highway to Playhouse Road. Custer State Park remains open, but the Grace Coolidge walk-in fishing area and Center Lake beach and lake access are closed. Helicopters are pulling water from the lake. The cause of the fire is under investigation. President Trump plans to attend a fireworks display at Mount Rushmore next week. The event is controversial in part because of the risk of wildfires from falling embers. President Donald Trump's plans to kick off Independence Day with a showy display at Mount Rushmore are drawing sharp criticism from Native Americans who view the monument as a desecration of land violently stolen from them. Several groups led by Native American activists are planning protests for Trump's July 3rd visit. Many Native American activists say the Rushmore Memorial is as reprehensible as the many Confederate monuments being toppled around the nation. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe alleges the federal government has been trying to coerce and threaten the tribe ever since Governor Kristi Noem asked for help stopping its COVID-19 checkpoints on state and federal highways. The tribe filed a lawsuit alleging that since Noem's White House plea, the federal defendants have been abusing their power to coerce the tribe to dismantle its checkpoints. When that didn't work, the tribe contends the defendants have tried to take over tribal law enforcement. The complaint was filed Tuesday in federal court in Washington, D.C. In May, Noem asked the White House for help to make the Cheyenne River and Oglala Sioux tribes remove their checkpoints on state and federal highways. The South Dakota Department of Health reports 3 new deaths from COVID-19 and 60 new cases statewide. The latest deaths were residents from Buffalo, Falk, and Pennington counties. That brings the state's death toll to 87 people. State health officials also report South Dakota's first case of multisystem inflammatory syndrome. They say it can develop in recently recovered or recovering children that have COVID-19. The state's total of COVID-19 cases grew to 6,479. There are 800 active cases and 79 people currently hospitalized. 5,592 people have recovered. The state's legislature's budget analyst says he expects April tax collections could be the low point in the COVID-19 economic downturn. That month was the peak of the COVID-19 shutdown across the country. Jeff Melhoff says in South Dakota, taxable sales collections for retail trade were up by $2.1 million.
You know, this was the kind of peak time for COVID, and we would have maybe expected retail sales to drop more than they did. This could be due to strong consumer demand and confidence, and that's maybe why we're seeing the retail trade higher than expected.
Melhoff says the service industry did not fare so well. Collections in April were down by $44 million, the bulk of that being hotels and other lodging places, which were down 66%. Revenue officials will reveal May collections in the beginning of July. Governor Kristi Noem says she will push for schools to bring students into classrooms at least part of the time during the upcoming school year, but she'll leave it up to school districts to determine exactly what instruction looks like. Noem was visiting Huron to announce county and local funding for the coronavirus pandemic when she made the comments. Noem has encouraged people to figure out ways to avoid a complete lockdown on life while avoiding situations where COVID-19 infections could rapidly spread. She indicated the state fair would still be held in Huron, but with precautions like social distancing. 35 Chinese nationals who lost millions when the EB-5 immigrant investment program went bankrupt can't sue South Dakota state agencies. That's the decision of the South Dakota Supreme Court issued today. A lower court dismissed the lawsuit because state agencies involved in running the investment program did not waive sovereign immunity. The High Court affirms that decision. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has more.
South Dakota's EB5 saga emerged in 2013 when the former Secretary of Tourism and State Development committed suicide. The saga started in 2009 when that agency entered into a consulting contract with former state employee Yope Bolin to administer and promote the EB5 program within South Dakota. EB5 is a federal program that gives preferred immigrant status to foreign nationals who invest in U.S. businesses to create a specified number of jobs. One new business created with EB5 funds was Northern Beef Packers in Aberdeen. Bolin solicited investments from 35 Chinese nationals to build and run the plant with the goal of creating 563 jobs by 2010. The Chinese investors put in more than $18 million and lost it when the packing plant went bankrupt in 2013. The Chinese nationals filed suit in December 2015 against the state and its involved agencies and its contractor, Yope Bolin, alleging fraud and breach of fiduciary duty. A flurry of claims and cross-claims and stipulations ensued. After the paperwork settled, only one claim remained. Plaintiffs challenged the state's sovereign immunity, whether it applies to commercial activities conducted by the state, and whether the legislature expressly waived immunity for claims arising from EB5 projects. In its opinion, the Supreme Court says plaintiffs argue for the first time in this appeal that the state's Uniform Securities Act provides an express waiver of sovereign immunity. The court notes that although it could consider that argument on appeal, it declines because doing so would, at best, result in finding an implied waiver, and precedent requires a finding of express waiver for the plaintiffs to prevail. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
South Dakota soybean farmers have a deadline. In 5 days, they will not be able to use one of the most popular herbicides on their fields. And for most of the month of June, they were unsure whether they could use it at all. That's because of a federal court ruling that pulled it from the shelves during the middle of spraying season. SDPB's Lee Strupinger reports.
Hal Clemenson is rushing to treat his soybeans with dicamba before next week's deadline. Clemenson has been farming for 37 years and farms corn and soybeans near Condy, which is south and east of Aberdeen. Clemenson says he focuses dicamba on parts of his fields that have kochia weeds. It can grow fast, up to 5 feet tall, and it spreads. Just one plant puts out 14,000 seeds.
This is, probably the best remedy to handle kochia weeds.
Earlier this month, Clemenson didn't know if he could use dicamba. In early June, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned an Environmental Protection Agency regulation on three dicamba products, Extendamax, Engenia, and Fexapan.
This is, kind of pulling the rug out from under us halfway through the spraying season.
So Clemenson waited.
We're talking to our agronomists saying, what do we do here? And they're saying, well, I don't know. Nobody had answers for us. And so people sat on the sidelines and mainly didn't spray.
And in some fields, the weeds took off. While the court ruling created limits on dicamba use, since then the EPA says farmers could spray the dicamba they already have on hand. But in South Dakota, they need to spray before July 1st. Dicamba has been around for more than 50 years. It's an effective weed killer, but it can also kill other plants. If a farmer sprays dicamba on a windy day, or when the liquid spray vaporizes in hot weather, the chemical can kill some non-targeted plants. Unintended crop damage from dicamba has led to multiple court cases. In 2015, the USDA approved Bayer's dicamba-resistant soybean and cotton seeds. Three specialized types of dicamba herbicides for those special seeds were not approved until 2 years later. Nathan Donnelly is a senior scientist with the Center for Biological Diversity. That group joined several others in suing the EPA over the approval of those dicamba products. Donnelly says the USDA put the cart before the horse.
And so what we've seen since then is just an enormous increase in dicamba use across much of the Midwest and the South. And this is causing widespread environmental damage.
Donnelly says it can also drive down the livelihood of any farmer who does not use Bayer's genetically engineered crops.
There's really been no greater example of widespread damage done by pesticides that I can ever think of.
The USDA says in 2018, 44% of South Dakota's soybean acres were planted with dicamba-tolerant seeds. That's about 2.4 million acres. 2 million of those acres were sprayed with a dicamba herbicide. Some soybean fields were damaged by unintentional dicamba drift. 6% of soybean fields in the state showed that kind of damage. The EPA will reevaluate its regulation on dicamba again later this year to determine if and how the chemical gets used next year. Donnelly says he expects the EPA will reapprove dicamba for herbicide use.
And if for somehow a new approval comes in place, it's going to be even more restrictive than the label is this year. So it's just, it's setting up farmers to use this illegally because the label is so darn restrictive that it can't even follow it.
Some say the future of dicamba is uncertain. Kevin Scott is South Dakota's representative to the American Soybean Association. He says if the EPA limits its use, that will hurt South Dakota farmers.
I would love to have a safer product than dicamba to use. I mean, that's a given. We need something that works on the weed species we have. So if they can come out with something new, new chemistry or whatever, that'd be fantastic. We'd be all for it. But currently, the dicamba is a wonderful product for what it does. It's just hard to use correctly.
Farmer Hal Clemenson says if farmers lose dicamba, chemical costs would escalate, cutting into a farmer's profit.
You fight the weather, you fight Mother Nature a lot, you fight prices. You just really, it's hard when you have a judge in California that makes a decision. He's probably never been to the state of South Dakota. I don't know that, but, and he's making decisions that affect all of us in agriculture.
Meanwhile, South Dakota soybean farmers are rushing to spray dicamba before the state cutoff date. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.